to get to see some people you don't get to see for a long time, And that's one good thing about this season. For those of you who may have known Aisha, she wandered away from Central some time ago, and she shows up at our house yesterday for a very good visit, and we're glad to have her with us today, and there are others. I just happened to be involved in that particular situation. This is, got to come on somewhere. I forget every time. Turn that thing on for me. All right. If there's more than two buttons, I never get it. We began in January our journey, 2019. And really, the overarching idea, and I'm going to talk just a little bit up front here before I get into sharing a little bit, some of the considerations that form the framework in which we work, and so I think it's interesting, if not important, to know. But finding my part in God's vision for his people, that sounds very generic till you begin to try to think about what is God's vision for his people? For them to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Up here you have a list of characteristics. Those characteristics are taken from a list of things where God has defined what he wants his people to be. If Jesus is the head of the church and God has defined what he wants his people to be, then where does that leave us? Implementation, right? Leaves us with, we're the ones who then have to take these and reduce them to our lives. So we don't, as Earl talked about, he called Earl Lavender, for those of you who are visiting, who came down from Lipscomb on five occasions to help us through this, to support us and strengthen us through this journey. And so he said, find my place in God's story. God has a story that he's been telling, and how long has he been telling that story? Since Genesis chapter 2. He's been telling the story. We're never on the same page, so don't worry. That won't, it's no problem. But our place in God's story. God has a vision for his people, but he wants the people want to be restored to the human in the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which I said earlier. And just walk up here sometime and take a look and as to where we are with that, where you are with that. Now, the journey was composed of some foundational teachings. Then it was composed of exploring the subject of upward, the subject of inward, the subject of outward, and the subject of forward. And I'll say a little bit more about those for those who may not be familiar. But what are those in essence? They are the four domains or the four realms or the four areas in which our spiritual life rests. And we need to ask ourselves more often, and that's one thing I got out of this. We can get on one or the other of those. But one thing I got out of this was that I need to think about how am I doing with God. I can't just focus on that and forget about how am I doing in relating to my brothers and sisters, or get so focused on that I forget about outreach and I get so comfortable within the church family that I'm not carrying some of the water with outreach, or that I'm not thinking enough about what we want to instill in people. 2 Timothy 2:2, commit to trustworthy men what I have taught you. This is Paul writing. What I have taught you, commit it. to trustworthy men for what purpose? That they may transfer, commit it to others. So there needs to be somebody in our lives that we are influencing as we go along. There's always somebody in front of you can learn from. There's always somebody behind you can help. That's the idea, part of the idea about forward. Let me hurry on here. This is more than an information transfer. The whole study was not just to learn a bunch of facts and what have you. And the purpose was to encourage you to take personal responsibility for your response to what the Scriptures call you to. As we went through this, did you find any Scriptures that called you to something? I hope found at least some. But is the response optional? When we read a passage of Scripture, is it optional? Well, in writing in Matthew chapter 7, verses 27 through 29, anybody know what that says? What does it say? He who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is wise. But he who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is foolish. So when we just study the Bible and then don't see how it changes, and let that be the thrust for changing our hearts, then we are being foolish. I didn't say it. James is always blunt. If you want to get a blunt teacher, go to James. To he who knows what it is to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin. So there's value in study. This is not to diminish the value in study. This is to say there's got to be something beyond the study. And I want you to remember always that love and faith are action words. And I could spend a good bit of time talking about, but love is an action word. For God so loved the world that he acted. Faith without works is dead. Will a dead faith save you? If what's going on as you study the Scriptures is not calling you to higher, better, giving you more insights, if it's just like reading another book, then you haven't accomplished the purpose of the Scripture. Uh-oh. And so we would encourage you in what this study set out. Did you notice there was a characteristic that was driven by Scripture? We didn't invent the characteristic. We looked in the Scripture and said, what characteristics are it? What is the characteristic this Scripture is calling us to? So we need to develop a Scripture-driven in our lives. Why am I doing this? Where am I going to this? In the church life, why are we doing this? Are we just doing it because we've been doing it for 50 years or 40 years? Or is there some reason it's being done? And what is the Scripture driving what we do? And remember, this is a tall order, but we're in partnership with the Holy Spirit. So it's a different mindset. One way to look at this is plugging into the institutional programs. We have institutional programs. By that I mean the ministries that are set up and endorsed by the church, such as teen campus, that kind of thing. Those are there, but that's not where it ends. A personal responsibility for finding your place in God's story. And that means that no one can do everything. I understand that. But your personal responsibility to find a place in God's story, and that's personal. In addition to whatever else you may do, you have to, and that's tied to the drawing near to God, too, by the way. Let me hurry on here. The second thing is, or the next, the last thing here is, we have to be alert to the opportunities God puts before us. And that's what a recent lesson week before last was about. What the opportunities God puts in your life. What was the trouble that the person who only had one talent had? Remember now, the talents are not the gifts. The talents are the opportunities. It specifically says that in the text. So what is the opportunity? What was the matter? Did he waste the money? He did not waste the money. He didn't do anything with it. And how did he come out when the accounting came up? I'm sure glad you took care of what I gave you. I'm glad that you buried it in the ground so you could dig it up when we got here. Didn't work that way, did it? So we have to be alert not only to how we contribute to the body as a whole here, but a personal responsibility to see the opportunities that God puts in our lives. And they're there every day if you're praying and looking. So our Journey 19 foundational considerations. We started the journey with the foundational considerations. There were 10 biblical beliefs we reviewed with the church, the elders reviewed with the church, that we cannot compromise. If you give up on those 10 items, you've given up the whole farm. Secondly is that there are 11 body life principles we uphold that govern and guide the foundation of the functioning of our church body. And pays to review those probably every now and then, but we don't, not going to do that here today. You might get hungry before we got through if I started that. But in the journey, we had primary areas of our Christian walk that I've already talked about, the upward, the inward, the outward. And then we took a respite week and took a little bit of a break, and then we closed with the forward, which we're bringing to a close today. Those each have a particular part that you can see there on the screen, but in exploring this, there were 48 memory verses and characteristics supported by a verse of Scripture that we explored. And those were the things that, you can't say they defined it, they were meant to get my word out. They were meant to stimulate thought and self-examination. It's what it was meant to do. So let me stop here for a minute and just go on. Let me tell you a little bit how this journey worked for me. Just some examples. This is to give you an idea. The passage when we were doing upward, one of the key texts was, submit then to God, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Did you ever try to figure out what that was, how you do it? That would have been quite a challenge. But what I realized was that my area of weakness in that was the area of this solitude and simplicity of life. I have succeeded in getting things so complicated that I never get anything much done without three other things getting piled up. Anybody have that problem but me? And right now, it is, you have to be trained in hazardous duty to walk through my office. So there's too much driving. But what we're called to some peace and solitude. Remember, Jesus went off to a place. And it's those times in which you really draw near to God, when you have peace and solitude. And so I've committed to try to resurrect that. It seems that the to-do list overrides it too much of the time. Things left from yesterday, I got to get done today. Am I the only one that has that problem? But all of a sudden, you find out that while you slept, the to-do list grew. So what you have to do is just set it aside. So peace and solitude and personal study. And that last song up there, our lives laid down that you may be glorified. That's what taking up the cross is all about. The nearness to God will bring that about. In inward, I realized, and some of us are tied to what I just said, but on inward, I realized that I'd been too busy to pay any attention to our shut-ins. It's just me talking. But they're members of this congregation too. And we have some people here who faithfully send cards. And you're to be commended for that. That's really one of the good things that helps this congregation stay together. And then I said, well, what is the deal here? The deal is that it's a matter of priorities. Now, at the risk of being misunderstood, a couple of weeks ago, I realized that I'd been reminding myself I need to visit some of the shut-ins. I've been reminding myself of that. And it came to Saturday, and I had not gotten it done all week. What usually happens on Saturday in the fall? Football. So I said, I do have 3 hours to go visit. It's a matter of priorities. So in terms of outward, I'm by nature an introvert. I remember growing up and my parents were giving me was giving me a lecture about school. And I said, all I need is my dog in the woods. I don't need any of that schooling. That's how brilliant I was. And there's not an outgoing person in our family. So I don't have that as a natural thing. And engaging somebody I don't know is very difficult. It really is. But what are we called to? We're called to go and engage, aren't we? Jesus didn't say go to the church building. He said go out into the world and engage. So I've been trying to do better with that. I even had myself a pen made up that I could hand out to people, trying to break the ice or get them to remember. One of these kind of pens. And if you look at it, I didn't know what to put on the pen. So I put Richard Brown, Soul Doctor, Conversations, Life, Death, and Then, and my phone number. Will that get attention? So I'm taking some steps to try to do better in the outward realm, particularly in outward with the gospel. And I'll not go any further there. Forward, that gets into, for me, it gets into more of what we do with the church. We have some great activities. We're doing very well. And I think, as you could see from the reports we gave 2 weeks ago, we're doing very well with regard to going forward with the children, with the teens and the campus and some select other areas. But we really need, and I think the leadership in particular, because the passage we often quote is Ephesians 4:11 and following. And that verse is very clear It says that we are to, well, that there's been gifts given to the church. It was by the grace that some are apostles, prophets, some evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. And for a long time, it's one thing I got out of this, it never hurts to read something in the Bible you've read before, because usually you'll see something else in it. Anybody have that experience? You usually find something else in it. So this time in preparing this series of lessons, I started paying more attention to the God's, so that, favorite word, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now notice what comes out of this proper equipping. What comes out of it? A church that is what? A church that's built up, a church that reaches unity, which we're called to do, and it's unity in the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Just think of that outcome. That's a tremendous outcome. And so usually this verse is just kind of left in, as it is. By that I mean it's left as it kind of happens by osmosis or happens by just... But anyway, but we need to be... I got out of that we need to be more intentional in preparing God's people for the works of service, because the outcome is glorious. Now, I want to say one other thing, that one of the things, this is backing up a little bit that I forgot, but in the inward is all the things that are done here off the radar screen. I'm always amazed when I hear, you know, a single mother needed an automobile, and all of a sudden she gets one. It doesn't go through any process. Somebody just decides to help her with an automobile. That's the kind of spontaneity. The Good Samaritan didn't have to call a benevolence committee together in order to find out what to do to the man laying on the road, did he? And so our personal responsibility is to see these kinds of opportunities. And it's just, it really... I don't want to exaggerate, and I'm not giving a drama, but it really stimulates my soul when I hear of all these things that go on off the radar screen that are individual initiatives. And that is what was intended. What was intended was not that you have to attach yourself to have a ministry. You have to attach yourself to some ministry of the church, though that is a place to work. You need to find your personal place as well and be prepared to respond to the people who are beside the road. See people as Jesus saw the people. He saw the helpless. He saw the harassed. He saw the poor. He saw the disenfranchised. He saw people who were burdened and in need of rest. And we're in a society just like that. So we're to see the people. We're to go out, we are to carry the message. It's not just see them for the purpose of seeing them or giving a helping hand, it's to engage in their life and through Jesus Christ help them change their life. And with that, I will turn it over to Chip. He's probably smarter than I am, he doesn't need charts.
Yeah, my name is Chip Jones, and I have a few words for you today. I appreciate your patience, and especially for this year-long journey. We are, Ed Smith was supposed to be part of this presentation today, but he had to go out of town and visit his family for the holidays, and so what he did for his reflections on the journey that we've had this year is he has written this article that you read in the bulletin. So if you'll read on page 3 here in the paper that you picked up by the door, you will see a really nice article as he usually turns in. I should say he always turns in a very good article. And he goes through the different stops of the journey and his reflections on that. And I would encourage you to read it. And it would probably be redundant for me to try to read it this time. I want to give you some benefits of my thoughts on the journey so far this year. We, as we're closing out what we called the journey, we tried to come up with, how do you come up with one word that talks about this? You know, Richard had 48 different things, and I'm sure you're not surprised that there were 48 different things he thought that were critically important for this year, and he whittled it down to 48 different things. We really had to give him a lot of pressure to get him down to where it was just 48. And so we came down with one word, and aren't you proud of us? And that is a journey. And we probably ought to thank Rodney for that, because he was very instrumental in the journey this year. He and John Canterbury for helping us plan and helping us put things together. I'd also like to say some appreciation for Alan. As you know, we had all these different journey points throughout the year and all these very specific things that we wanted to talk about. And so then some weeks Alan was on tap to give the message, and he's been given a topic that he's supposed to speak on. And that's not typically the way he has to do it. Alan gets up here almost every week and delivers a message from his heart, and you're seeing a part of his life for that. And so someone hands him a part. It's a little bit harder to do it for somebody to just hand you a part. He's a very effective speaker and all, but we really appreciate how Alan embraced the journey this year and tried to present lessons that were very clear and helpful and encouraging to us, and I think he's done a great job of that. We also got the benefit of hearing some thoughts from Earl Lavender several times during the year, and that was a lot of fun, just to hear things from a little bit different perspective than what we normally hear week to week. And so as we considered the four parts of the journey, the upward, inward, outward, and forward parts, it was organizationally kind of complicated, and I also want to thank all of our classroom teachers and the people who present lessons throughout the week, whether there be Life Talk leaders or ladies' Bible class leaders or whoever it was. We did a great job of trying to follow the journey so that we could all be kind of talking about the same things each week. And so that is helpful because it stimulates conversation, and I think it did for me. Sometimes it's a little bit hard to come up here or walk up to somebody just as they're standing in the aisle and say, well, what do you think about redemption? You know, it's just not something that you normally talk about. But as we're talking about it in our classes and in our life talks and in the sermons each week, it's great to hear, to have some topics that we can have for conversations. And I think that's a great thing. And so I didn't feel like I could adequately cover 48 different topics this morning to summarize what I've learned in the journey this year. And so what I decided to do is take one. And that one thing that it was one of the first ones that I did where I spoke to you before, and it had to do with gratitude. And I think it's extremely important that we are grateful for what God blesses us with each day. We are all very, very blessed. Right now I'm thinking we're blessed here because we have a roof over our heads and the storm is coming and we don't have to worry so much about it. Although, as you know, a building is not a perfect shelter for a storm, as we learned. But it does give me some comfort. So we need to be grateful about the way God blesses us. And it's a foundation, the gratitude that allows us, as we realize it's not all coming from us, and not it's not of a course, it's something that we deserve. If it's not that, then what is it? What is it that we're receiving? Well, we're receiving instruction to prepare us for when Jesus comes again. We want to be here, and we want to be prepared, and we want to be able to say, we hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so I want to be prepared for that. Now, Paul talked about being prepared in his lessons about how we should be prepared through like athletic training, you know. And we should, he says, buffet my body, I think, in one translation. He says, I buffet my body so it'll be strong. And that's preparing us for work in the kingdom of God. But anyway, in as far as gratitude, it takes an intentional effort for us to be grateful for what God has done for us. And if there's anything I can say about that particular topic is you need to be intentional about your gratitude, because my natural way of looking at things is if 10 things happen to me that are good, I'm thinking about that 11th thing that I really wish would have happened that didn't happen. And I'm focused on that. I'm not focused on the 10 things that happened that were good. And I guess one of the benefits of old age is sometimes you start, well, I hope it is in your case, because it has been in mine, that you realize what an important thing it is for how blessed we are. And I learned that one of the first times I really became face-to-face with that was at my work, where I went to work for a guy who was just fantastic at expressing his gratitude. Anytime somebody did something that he thought was good, he was very good at explaining why it was good, why it was important that that had happened, and he would stop and he would celebrate. We'd have a party or whatever it might be and that seemed appropriate at the time, and I could see how intentional it was for him. He wanted people to understand this is the way things are supposed to go, and this is what you need to learn from it. And so I learned that if you wanted to be a leader in any particular area, you needed to seek out things that were going along and they were going good, and you need to try to figure out ways to duplicate that and make that happen again. And so I would like for us to think upon such things that we're grateful for, such things that are good, the virtues that we see in the Bible, and figure out ways that we can be intentional about bringing those into our lives and also instilling those into people who look to us for leadership. So I look back at, for instance, in Luke 17, I think it was mentioned here earlier about Jesus had healed sick people, 10 different sick people, and only one person stopped to thank him. And I can see myself, unfortunately, as probably one of the nine that didn't do it, because I'd be focused on the next step, you know, and not so grateful about it. But I think what Jesus is trying to teach us here is he made special recognition for the one that stopped and was grateful. So I want us, if we do anything after today, is to resolve, each one of us individually and collectively as a group, to pray that we will get better each day in recognizing our blessings and sharing our joy with each other. And I think that'll have great positive benefits. And I think there are great positive benefits here in this congregation. One of the things that allows me to stand up here and not be completely fearful is I can look out and see people who love me and want me to do well. And they're interested in the best for me. And I can look out and see that. And that's the importance, I think, or points to some of the important the important parts of being together as Christians. We can encourage each other to love and good works. And we need to seek ways that we can do that and be intentional about it. I know that when I was first raising children, and sometimes I would have questions, and I would say, you know, in my family, when I was growing up, we did certain things, and they seemed to be beneficial for that. And so I went and I would ask my dad, I said, why did we do that? And right now I'm having a hard time coming up an example, but I would ask him, and he would usually say, well, you know, your mom and I, we thought that was going to be important, and so we had a plan. And so he would explain in detail about what kind of a plan and how he set about that plan to make sure that certain values were instilled in his family and instilled in me so that I would have, that I would be able to fit well in God's plan and be a productive member of God's kingdom as we wait for his return. So we need to reach out for others. A lot of us have families that we are close to and families that are here in the congregation. I'm very much blessed to have a big, strong family. I was telling somebody they didn't know that Kathy Farless is my big sister. And it's great to have a big sister like Kathy. I wish everybody did, but I know they don't. But you can have her here because she is a member here, and she's a great big sister. So that's one of the benefits of having a congregation like we do, and that's one of the reasons I can look out today and feel comfort rather than just simply fear at everybody looking at me up here in that. And we need to be preparing ourselves because we don't really know how much longer we have to live here. About 6 years ago, I thought I was moving forward every day, better and better, harder and harder, working more and more, trying to get more done, and my heart just stopped. And I was just out in the yard messing around doing something I'm sure totally unimportant in the big scheme of things, and I stopped my heart, and I fell over, and I was dead. And fortunately, my wife was right there in the yard. She wasn't really looking at me. She was probably talking to somebody on the phone. But fortunately, she had her phone. And she looked at me, and she says, that guy is dead. And so she'd heard about CPR before, but she'd never done it. She'd watched people do it, and she'd seen it being done and had some training in it. And so she said, you know, I don't think I can hurt him. He's already dead. So she started after it. And she did it for 15 minutes till the fire department got there. And they got out their defibrillator and everything, and they stretched the cords out, and they got out a big sheet of paper, and they said, step number one. And she says, don't you think y'all could hurry? But everything was great. I went to the hospital and had a great doctor who, he was very proud of his ability to take care of people that had heart problems. And they figured out what my heart problem was, and here I am today. And so I did that because multiple people were ready to take action. And I guess I could have... I think we all need to be ready and think about where we are. Are we ready to take action when it's time to take action? We want to be as productive as we can be in the kingdom, each of us, and doing what little things that we can do. I look at everything that I do as a relatively small thing, but it's something that I can do and I can be successful at, and I want to do that. And I think every day that I do that, I learn a little bit more. I learn what I'm good at and what I'm not good at and what I better not try again, or maybe I ought to do more of because I'm good at it. And you'll learn that too if you will do that. But you need to be intentional about it. You need to invest your time in it to learn how you can do that. And so I would encourage you to make every effort to be effective and productive. Invest in the opportunities that God lays before you each day, and then he will be able to exclaim to you, as they said, Jesus said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So if you're thinking now about your own life, you've got a decision to make. We need to look at this life as a preparation for meeting him soon. And are you ready to meet him? It's going to be soon. It may be sooner than you think. I was snatched from the fire. I don't remember that much about it, and I don't have any wonderful stories to tell about that part of it. I'm only telling you the things that I did today about when my heart stopped because everybody else told me, because I couldn't remember any of it. But we're all going to meet him soon, some sooner than others. So are you ready for that? Have you prepared yourself for that? Are you dedicated to investing what time you have, what energy you have, what effort you have? Invest that into being more effective as a child of God and somebody working in his kingdom. I can tell you from my own personal experience with this congregation, it is a wonderful congregation, and there are lots of highly productive people working in God's kingdom that are here. But I know they want to be even more effective. They all would like to be more effective. So if you don't feel like you're as effective as you need to be, if you want to be more effective, there are people here that can help you. And if you need to do that in a public way, I would like to encourage you at this time to come forward as we stand and sing. Thank you.